Thank you, Gordon and Barbara, for our music this morning. Welcome to our morning service at Faith Baptist Church. This is Mother's Day. We're enjoying our day here with moms. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. We read in our service a few minutes ago, verses 20 through 23. Aren't you glad that the Bible says in the beginning God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, and then he said male and female created he them. I'm glad that he said that. And he said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, who will also become a mother. I'm glad God distinguishes those things in the Scripture. Maybe it's kind of sad on a Mother's Day and the day in which we live that we have to be reminded of a few things because of that, and we shouldn't forget. A mother's not a father, and a father's not a mother. A female is not a male, and a male is not a female. Only your mother, the wife of your father, has the God-given biological, scientific ability to bring you into this world. And she did, and I'm glad for that. She carried you for 9 months in a safe environment, and you ought to be thankful for that because there's 50 million American children who, in that safe environment, weren't safe. But thank the Lord that your mother brought you into this life. Not only that, then she spent the next 18 years of her life, maybe 21, maybe more than that, training you, helping you, serving you, teaching you. And that wasn't the end of it either. Then for the rest of her life, and maybe still going on, she has been there for you for counsel, for direction, for instruction, and blessing. And we ought to be thankful for these things, and I know you are. Now, you know, regarding our parents, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the fifth commandment, of course. And even those children who heard that when the Israelites came out of Egypt still had to obey that command 40 years later when they were 40 years older. And we still do, don't we? We obey, we honor our father and our mother. Now, sometimes the Bible uses that word father to mean fathers and mothers and parents. For example, Hebrews 12 puts it this way, further, we had human fathers, you could say parents there, who corrected us. We paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And then he says of our parents, they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them. But he does it for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. You know, mom and dad did the best they could. And we as parents do the best we could. It's not that we're always right, that we always make the right decision. But praise the Lord, we did the best we could. Now, when our text in Proverbs 6 speaks of commandments and laws, we should understand that they're reflecting God's laws to us. We all try to do that as parents and reflect the laws of God. I like the way old Matthew Henry put it when he said about this verse, it is God's commandment and law, but our parents directed us to it and put it into our hands and trained us up in the knowledge and observance of God's law. Isn't that right? Isn't that what our parents did? You know, if you gave me $1 million, and you're welcome to if the Lord leads, but if you gave me $1 million and you said, take this and invest it, use it, and give some to other people and let them use it, I would do pretty good and sometimes not so good with that money. I'd give it to other people, and sometimes they would use it wisely, and sometimes they would not. But you know what? A dollar is still always a dollar, whether you're using it wisely or not. And God has given to us his law and said, here, train people with this, use it, give it to others. And sometimes we do a good job with it and sometimes not, but it's always God's law, always God's command. and it'll always be there for us. So as we look at this passage in Proverbs 6, I love it because it speaks about fathers and mothers. And I want you to notice, and we will notice as we go through these four verses, that there are these contrasts in these verses. There are commandments, and then there are laws. We are to bind them, and we are to tie them around our neck and in our heart. One is a lamp, the other is a light. And I think, at least it seems to me, that I've noticed that there's more of an emphasis on the mother in this passage than on the father. We'll talk about dads in June when we get to Father's Day. But I think that there's a strong emphasis on the law of the mother here and those laws that she gave us. And so I want you to notice that, and that's why I wanted to come back to this passage today. So notice that I'm going to speak of four things that come out of these four verses and add some things to it. I hope that you follow as I do. There's a simple outline on your bulletin or on the screen. First of all, speaking of the law of our mother, I want to talk about its source. Verse 20, keep your father's command, do not forsake the law of your mother. There's a positive of keeping the command of your father. There's a negative, don't forsake the law of your mother. Now, the word guard means to guard it and preserve it and so forth. But here's the interesting thing about that. The word command is a different word than the word law. Even if you said commandment, here it's just command in the singular. So it's the word mitzvah, which sounds familiar, doesn't it? It just means a rule, a precept. But the law of your mother is the word Torah. And when we say Torah about the Bible, we're speaking about the first five books of the Bible. We're speaking about the law of Moses. So there's a command, but then there's the law. There's the whole absolute large law. So notice a couple things about this. First of all, about the father's command, and we'll come back to it, but keep in mind, even when the Bible says fathers, because of course it favors the masculine gender, that doesn't exclude that mom has some commands too, and that this is speaking both of father and mother. So commands. You know, mom and dad in my house that I grew up in had all kinds of small rules we had to keep. Didn't yours? Didn't you grow up that way in your house? And didn't you make those kinds of rules in the house when you were the mom and dad in it? I think so. So, you know, in my house, we had to clean our room. Isn't that terrible? What, I was just such an abused child. I had to clean my room. Not only that, I had to live with a little brother who didn't like to clean the room. And my wife thinks I'm joking, but this is actually the truth. One day I stretched a rope down the middle of the room and said, this is my side. I don't care what you do on your side. So that I didn't get in trouble for his mess. I had to burn the trash. You know, in those days, we had a 55-gallon drum outside, you know, far from the house, and we burned it all out there. It was my job to go burn the trash. It's a good thing Dad put it near the creek, or I might have burned the whole forest down, you know, and maybe the house too. But I had fun burning trash. It was my job to mow grass, you know, so I had to. I was the grass mower at our house. All the small rules. Oh, and by the way, Dad, being a real automotive mechanic himself, said, you don't scratch tires in our driveway. Now, we had a gravel driveway. You don't come in and slide on the gravel. You don't take off spinning gravel. And especially, you don't do that on pavement. So we had all these little small commands that I grew up with. And the Bible is saying you grew up with those commands. Your parents gave them to you. They should reflect God's law to you and help you know God's law better. So to this day, I guess it worked on me. I still carry out the trash. I still mow the grass, and I like to mow the grass. And I never squeal my tires. I can't do it because I still hear Dad talking to me if I squeal my tires. So, you know, the commands that Mom and Dad give to you are good for you, and they stay with you all of your life. Now, in that same verse, it says, well, keep your father's command, but don't forsake the law, the Torah of your mother. I think that I have often reminded you that Paul in 1 Timothy 5:14 was speaking to prospective wives, mothers, and he said, marry, bear children, and then he says, manage the house. And that word manage is oikodespotein, house and despot, because the wife, the mother, is the despot of the house. Now, a wife can be the despot of the house and still be submissive to her husband, of course, but it's her domain. This is what she controls. This is where she raises her kids. This is where she does her thing. And so she is the despot of the house in that sense. And in that sense, this is the law of the household. This is the Torah that you grew up in, the large rules, the large laws. When I think of that, though Dad was this way too, Mom was responsible for the moral laws in the house. This is what you say and this is what you don't say in this house. This is how you act. This is how you don't act in the house. This is what you bring into our home. You don't bring those things into our home and so forth. Taught us morality. Taught us what was right and what was wrong. And there was a lot of faith that she established in our house. We believe this, and Dad did this too, but I mean, Mom said, this is what we believe. This is what we think of the Scripture. This is why we go to church. This is why we do the things that we do. You learn those moral laws. You learn those faith laws as you grow up in her house because it's under her law. And that's good. I'm glad that it is. Remember in Proverbs, When it says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And then one of my favorite verses, right after that, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not, and wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not, because that's what your mother is giving to you. By the way, even when she's old. I don't know what old is. My wife and I are both on Social Security. Does that mean we're old? Maybe it does. But you know what? It's these days in our lives that our kids still call us. So good. We have two daughters. They call Mom all the time. I have two sons. They call me. They call us all. And we talk because there's still that wisdom to hand down in our older years that children need all throughout their life. Don't forsake the law of your mother, even when she's old. Let me ask you this then. Do Dad's commands and mother's laws reflect God's word? Are those rules that we're giving, is that advice that we hand out, reflection of what God says? Do they parallel that? That's what we need to understand and do. So here's the source of them. Secondly, is the reception of these things in verse 21. Bind them continually upon your heart, and secondly, tie them around your neck. Bind them and tie them. You see kind of two parallel words there also. Now, the word to bind, kosher, means to join together, to put together in your life, put these things together in your life. The word tie, anad, means to weave it, to lace it. I think of stitching and knitting and winding those things into your life. Now, bind them. Bind them. How do we bind the commands of our parents? Well, two ways in this verse. The first one is continually. You know, the laws of Mom and Dad in the household should not be just right now and then forget them the rest of the day. Or it shouldn't be just for this time, but we'll forsake them later. The laws, the things that need to be bound to our life need to be 24/7. And Mom and Dad, we need to be consistent about these things. We need to do things in our home and with our children that we can be consistent with throughout our lives and their lives. So do it continually so that, children, we then follow those laws that mom and dad give us for the rest of our lives to continually do this. And notice, secondly, in the heart. Bind them to your heart, not just to your hand today, but make them part of your life in your heart. The heart here means the basis, the foundation of what you are and how you think and what you do. In this way, bind them. Look back over at chapter 4 and verse 20. In chapter 4 and verse 20, for three verses here, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in, notice, the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to those, to all your flesh. So we bind them in our heart, and we do it because that's an attitude. It's not just a rule. It's not just something you do in mom's presence and then you don't do it when she's gone, or you do it in your house but not later. No, the heart and in the midst of the heart means that we do this all the time. Tie them also, then, our verse says, secondly, tying them. And again, I said this word, being different from the word bind, means to weave something, like you would make a tapestry or a quilt or a stitching of some kind. Can't you just see mom's fingers doing that? I don't know about in your house, but in my house, my mom and now my wife also, always stitching and weaving and doing something like that. That's the way moms put these things into children. And your mom was doing this constantly to you throughout the house, throughout her talking, throughout her jobs that she did. She was knitting and binding and weaving all of these laws, tying them to you in that way. How is it done? Well, around, it says. So tie them around your neck. In other words, knitting, putting something around you, making it fasten to you, and then secondly, to your neck. You know, the neck is an English translation for a word that would more graphically say the throat. And so the throat is the way to the stomach. It's the avenue for nourishment. And so mom's law needs to be woven around you so that you are receiving the kind of nourishment you need to receive as a child. And maybe the reason why you're in God's house today listening to God's word and fellowshipping with God's people is because there was a lot of knitting done in your life so that the law of God went down your throat and nourished you in your life. I hope that that is true. You know, there's an old saying that says, Give me a child from age 1 to 5, and you can have them the rest of your life. I've already got them. Well, what if it's 18 years? What if it's the first 21 years of their life? And if that's been your case, and your mother and as well as your father have inculcated these things into you, that's why they're still there in your life. So there's a source, secondly, a reception, thirdly, three benefits, and I think this is a wonderful verse, verse 22. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. I think roaming has to do with life's road. In other words, where you go in life and what you do. Sleeping has to do with that quiet time, and waking has to do with, all right, it's time for decision. It's time, what am I going to do now? Well, on life's road, mom's law will lead you through life. When in those quiet times of your life, they will keep you. And when it's decision time, those words will speak to you. That's what this verse is saying. So, first of all, when you roam, when you go down life's road, they will lead you. Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know well, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. How does he do that often? Through your mom, through your dad, through your parents. You hear those laws, and they are put into you. in Proverbs, Psalms, the poetical books especially, we have principles, principles from God's Word. Some people even call these truisms. These are things that we should do, and if we'll do them, could I use the word probably, things will turn out right. Not always. There's a famous verse, of course, in 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Well, is that 100%? No, it's not. Because some parents train up children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they do depart from it. But it's a truism. It means this is what God is saying for you to do. But every person, including your children, are free moral agents before God, and somewhere as adults, they're going to have to make their choices too, even beyond your control. Let me say three things about that. Number one, I can guarantee you, if you don't train up a child in the way he's to go, he will depart from those ways. So I guarantee you that the opposite will be true if you don't do that. Secondly, moms and dads, you're a good parent if you train your child in the way he should go. You're a good parent if you do what's right. You're a good parent if you have trained in those 18, 21, however many years. You're a good parent if you have done the right thing. And now it's up to that child to do what is right with them before God. So you're a good parent regardless if you have done the right thing. And thirdly, I think this is interesting. Some people translate that verse. It says, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Translate it, it will not depart from them. When they're old, God's law and God's precepts will not depart from them. So even when life gets rough, that your word that you have given them will go with them and will be with them and in their ears. And we're going to see that in the verses that follow also. So when you roam on life's road, God's word, the commands of your father, and the laws of your mother will lead you. Secondly, when you sleep, it says, when you sleep, they will keep you. I like Psalm 127, 1 through 3, very well-known passage. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And then it says, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. Do you worry about your kids? Do you worry about how things are going to be? But then he says, so he gives his beloved sleep. And children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And so when you sleep, you can sleep well if you've done the right thing as a parent. Robert Alden, in his book on Proverbs, said, a good night's sleep can be a desperate wish, especially for those robbed of it by sickness, anxiety, fear, and then he also adds, and by noisy neighbors. But then he says at the end of it, how wonderful for them is the promise of wisdom's fearless, sweet sleep. Wisdom's fearless, sweet sleep. If you've been a good mother, been a good father, then you can sleep well that way. Mom, speak well and sleep well. And children, listen well and sleep well. When we've done those things, then when we sleep, these things will keep us. But thirdly, when we wake up, and as I said, I kind of take this as, okay, it's time to get up. What am I doing today? Where am I going to go? What's my first step? When you awake, they will speak with you. Mom's words, dad's words that have funneled God's law into our lives, they will speak to us. Let me read you from Isaiah 30 also about teachers, and I mean your parents have taught you. It says, Isaiah 30, 20 and 21, though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet Your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. And then it says, verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, whenever you turn to the left, you hear that voice that says, this is the way, walk in this, go the right way. Somebody says the Word of God has something to say about every situation in life. You know that? Every decision you make, every turn you take in the road, the Word of God has something to say about it. Isn't it great if moms and dads put those words in you and you hear those voices behind you every time you come to that junction in the road? You got to go right or left. There's no other choices. You got to go one way or another. And you hear that voice behind you saying, fear not, turn to the right or the left. And they give you that advice. So its benefits are there. Now, its creed finally in verse 23. The commandment is a lamp and the law is a light and reproofs or correction are the way of life. Notice that I say in the bottom of that verse, the reproofs are the way of life. And that's why I use the word creed. What's your creed? What's your worldview? How do you view this world? How do you view earth and heaven? How do you see your walk in this world? That is why it says at the end, reproofs of correction or instruction are the way of life. What is your way in life? Let me read you a few verses. You know, in Proverbs 5:20, it says, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. Wouldn't that be a sad thing? If you had to look at your life and say, boy, I really hated the advice I got. I hated God's commandments. I hated God's laws and regret it. But 15:31 says, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. The ear that hears it and says, that's God's advice, that's God's word, I'll do it, will abide among the wise. And then 9:8 says, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you, but rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Now, I want you to notice something in verse 23, two words specifically, the word lamp and the word light. As I said, I think it's interesting. The commandment, maybe that comes from the Father, is a lamp, but the law that up above says comes from your mother is a light. Now, here are the contrast. The word lamp, near, you would say it, N-E-E-R, means a candle. It means a dim light. A candle, a lamp is a good translation of it. But the word light on the other side, which is reflecting the law, the word light, ore, O-R-E, would be the sunlight. It can even mean lightning, when that lightning flashes. George Simic, in his good commentary is on the reflections of the 119th Psalm, said this, as a lamp nearer, it is like a flashlight. Like a flashlight's beam aimed at the next step of one's feet on life's path. Sometimes you just need a flashlight, don't you? Sometimes you just need to shine it right down there, see where the step is, see what you might trip over. But then he says, as a light, an aura, it is like a floodlight which penetrates the murky shadows surrounding a meandering highway ahead. The difference between the headlights on your car and the little flashlight that you might use on the path. So you have these words, they have both of these words here. You know, Psalm 119:05 is a verse that you know. Your word is what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Uses the exact same two words. Your word is a flashlight when I need it to shine down at my feet and say, what's the next step? And your word is a light like the sun that lights up my world and says, this is the way, walk in it. So a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, each step that I take. You know, as I was thinking about this verse, I thought, my mom, as well as my dad, but my mom especially, was good at those flashlight things. You know, when I just said the wrong thing and she corrected me and said it the right way. I remember I was a teenager in the 1960s. You know, all my friends were good hippies, you know. And yet the high school years in the 1960s were kind of chaotic in a lot of ways. And kids that I had grown up with since kindergarten were kind of going crazy, you know. But I remember, and my mother was the English teacher at the high school, so she was around all of these kids all of the time. And I remember commenting to her one time about one of my friends that had kind of gone nutty, and probably what I said wasn't real positive. You know what she said to me? She said, it's hard to love the unlovely, isn't it? My mother said that 50-some years ago, and I just quoted it to you exactly like she said it to me. It's hard to love the unlovely, isn't it? But then I thought, as I've grown older, that's God's word. It's hard to love the unlovely. A friend loves at all times. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A brother is born for adversity. In other words, mom's flashlight at that moment to correct my statement was like God's flashlight coming in and saying, no, you got to think of it like this. Now, how many times did your mother shine that light at your feet and say, this is the way, walk in it. This is God's word. So there's that lamp, those lamp moments, those flashlight moments. But then the law is a light. Your mother's law is a light for you. That word light, again, I said, can be like the sun. In Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. Just keeps coming up until it's right above us and it lightens everything around us. That's the light that we live in today, folks. Now, my mother died on January 1, 2001. 1-1-2001. She wanted to see the new century, and she saw it by one day. But now, 24 years later, I wear this carnation, of course, in her memory. 24 years later, I live in the light that she left behind for me. I live with the flashlight that she shined up my feet. It's my world, too, and I've adopted that, too. We need to pass on that faith. We need to do that for the next generation. Proverbs 23, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. And I think moms, whether here still on earth or in God's house this morning, rejoice when they see their children walking in this kind of truth. So, we come to the end of this. This is Mother's Day. So, children of mothers, do not forsake mother's law. It's good for you. Tie her law around your neck. Knit it together in your life. Let it be a guide to you in everything you're doing, and let her light shine on you in your life. There is a generation that curses father and mother, and we see too much of that in this world anyway. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. We see enough of that too. But if you know your mother's Savior, if you know your mother's Savior, then you will understand your mother's law. If you know the Savior that she knows, then you'll know what God's law is, and it'll be in your life. I trust that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. I trust that you will pass on these things to your children and live in the light that your mother left you. All right, stand with me if you will, as we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. And we are going to take that picture. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we sing. Let's ask him to speak to our hearts in the way that we need. Father, thank you for words from your scripture, these principles, these truisms that we need to put into our lives. If, Father, our mother and our fathers have shined these lights upon us, we thank you for that. And if not, And your word has penetrated our hearts, and your grace has saved us. We thank you for that. So, Father, I pray that we could honor those who have gone before us and have imparted to us your word. Help us, Father, in our generation to do the same. Help us to turn around and put a hand back to those who are coming behind us. I pray, Father, that we would honor and glorify you and your word through these things that we've heard today. Speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that there's someone who doesn't know Christ as Savior, maybe here or in the sound of my voice or wherever the gospel is preached, hearing the good news of salvation that we have in Christ, that we could receive it and have eternal life. Father, I pray that that would be so to whoever hears your word today, even here where I speak. Now, Father, bless us as we sing a song also. Receive honor and glory for all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I always say our invitation's open as we sing. I'm always here at the front. If you would like to come as we sing or when our service is over, I'm still here at the front. But you respond to this, whether inwardly or outwardly, in the way that God wants you to respond. Gordon will come and lead us in the song.